What's up, everybody? I am very excited to announce that the pre-sale for my fall leg of the Live and Alive tour starts tomorrow. Use code SICKLER to get access to the best seats, limited meet and greets, all that fun stuff. You guys are the diehards, and I want you to have access before anybody else. Tickets are available on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I'm going to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for your support. Thanks for watching this show, subscribing, supporting, all of it. This is what I do. You know, it's a free show, and the best free way to help is to subscribe, all right? And if you got to have more, you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all. It's this show with y'all. And if you're looking for like an episode to be like, what's it all about? I've done, I don't know, 3 or 4 highlight episodes with Josh Wolf now. We just did one in December. And it's usually 10 clips of the craziest stuff that's out there. And I'm telling you right now, you've never heard anything like this, ever. You've never heard anything like it in your life. It's just go check it out on my Patreon. All right. And the way back, I can't thank you enough. That show has started and is off to a crazy start. So thank you for that. Look, it's a fun one. It's every Thursday. It's all nostalgia stories. I'm trying to get all the guests here on there. You hear different fun, funny stories. They're quick hitters. So make sure you subscribe. We're bringing you a lot of good stuff. Catch me on tour. All tickets are available at ryansickler.com. All right. Now, you guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. Very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Florentine, welcome back to the Honeydew.
Thanks for having me, man.
Bro, you appreciate look good. It. You look good. Like seeing you. You're one of those people when I see, and I've just recently gotten to know you more, but you have such a good energy. You always have a smile on your face. I always like to... You're always a guy I like to pull aside and chat it up with and not just respectfully say hello and keep to myself.
No, I appreciate that, man. I've always been like that, man. Yeah. I get along with all the comics. I don't care what anybody's doing. I don't care if they're doing better than me or worse. I never got involved in that stuff. Good for everyone.
Yeah.
I said there's room for everyone out there. I said that years ago.
When the internet didn't exist.
When it didn't. I said there's going to be 400 cable channels. Everyone can have a show. Yeah. So I don't mind. I just do my own thing.
Well, your own thing, please plug all of it, man. Everything and everything.
Well, I do a podcast. Everybody is Awful. Comes out every Monday. And then, yeah, see me out on tour, jimflorentine.com, roll the tour dates. Whenever this comes out, I'm all over the place. You know how it is.
I know how it is.
Yeah, I still love doing it, man. I've been doing it a long time. I still love getting out there and doing it.
Well, there's nothing like that. You know, I say that we record these ahead so far sometimes because we're out doing all these other things. And there's just the immediate, you know, rush of stand up. This somebody like that thing you and Florentine said was funny. I'm like, man, we said it 3 weeks ago. And, you know, it was in the moment. But stand up's instant. You know,
I took like 3 weeks off in December because I was on the road a lot in the fall. And I missed it. Like, I didn't think I was going to miss it, but I just went and did a guest set at a local club, and I got that adrenaline back. I didn't have it for 3 weeks, and I felt good.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. I wanted to talk to you about your father passing. Can I ask you this? How old were you when he passed?
28.
And how old was he?
58.
Okay. So 28, you're still a young man. I only ask because my father died when I was 16 and he was 42. He was like, I want to say like 5 or 6 days before his 43rd birthday.
Wow.
So young, you know. Were you close with your dad?
Yeah.
Tell me about him a little bit. Like, what did he do for a living? Like, who was he?
Well, we had 7 kids in the family. You know, Irish Catholic.
All same mom and dad?
Yep. Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, Irish, they don't get divorced.
They don't pull out either.
They don't pull out. They don't get, yeah, exactly. I think he was 7 for 7.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's not, I know everyone's like, oh, whatever, there's gazillions. It's, if you're trying to have a kid, like, it's not always a sure shot at all. People take years sometimes, man. He had 7. It always amazes me when I hear anything like 5 or more.
And there was like 4 right in a row every year. Then they took like a year off. Then another one came. And then they took like another year off another one, and then 2 years off on another one.
But where are you?
I'm right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. How many boys, how many girls?
4 boys, 3 girls.
Whew. All right. So was he just working? And I mean, in between, we're fucking, what else was he doing?
I know. I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, we never saw that. I was our parents' bedroom. We didn't know what was going on.
That's a lot of fucking.
Yeah, I know. You know, and they got married when they were like 20. That's what they did back then.
Were they in love? Like, do you remember like seeing them hug, and they were an affectionate couple?
My dad would get her like 50 Christmas presents, all these different outfits. He'd go to like Macy's or these, you know, expensive stores. And we'd have to sit there on Christmas Day and watch open every one. We're like, I want to play with my toys.
Oh, hell yeah. He'd make you guys sit and watch your mother open them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, he, you know, he's all this outfit. She's like, oh, yeah, I can wear this. I'm like, I'm 12. I want to freaking play with my toys and stuff. But no, he was really, and they would go on weekend getaways, you know, go get a hotel on the beach for the weekend and stuff like that. So, no, he was really romantic. And they were, they'd be married to this day if they were, you know, they're both still around.
See, I remember my parents were not that way at all. And before they got divorced, like, the shit fell apart in the third grade, divorced by fifth. But I remember seeing them hug. That's as much as I remember one time. Like, once.
Really?
And it was kind of like, you know,
you're
like,
one of those, yeah.
Yeah, like, all right, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, so it's nice to hear. So they're affectionate. They're not always, 7 kids, a lot of fucking stress and everything. You're not seeing a lot of arguments and things
not
like
really.
That.
You know, my dad went to work. My mom stayed home. It was traditional, you know, that's how way it used to be. So she took care of the kids. She didn't work. And then he went to work.
And what did he do?
He was an accountant. So he worked at Dun & Bradstreet, had a good job, commuted to New York City from New Jersey. Took the bus every morning, got off the bus, probably left at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., something like that. Came home at like 6 o'clock at night.
Damn.
And, you know, my mom just took care of everything with the kids. And then she'd report back to him when he came home. Hey, this is what they did today, whatever, if there's any problems. So she was way more hands-on with it. But he was out working. But then also, we all played sports. So my dad was my coach, my Little League coach. You know, whenever I was at Little League.
Your dad's really involved in your guys'
Oh,
lives.
Yeah. So he'd get right off the bus from New York and get right to practice. We'd have a practice at
7. Line up!
It was great, And then he was, he was my, you know, he was my coach at Little League. So, you know, but he didn't favor me, though, because, you know, a lot of times if I had an attitude, he'd bench me or whatever, and he definitely didn't.
Yeah, that was my father, too. Like, I'm not giving you any favoritism. If you're not the best one out there, you're not going to play. I'm going to be harder on you than anybody else because I know what you can do, that kind of shit. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I coached my kid's rec basketball team, my son, and he yelled at me from the court because I yelled at him. You got to get that ball, get that rebound. He goes, oh, you want me to get the rebound? How am I going to get it when I'm over here right in the middle, like in the whole court? And I go, timeout. I called the timeout and yanked him out of the game.
Dude, I can't believe it's so funny.
And I told the team, I go, listen, if we lose, it's because of Luke, my son Luke. I go, so just know. He talked back to his dad. And if you guys do it too, I go, we lose it. Blame him.
Blame his ass.
Yeah,
yeah,
I get it right out of
the
game. Yeah. And then I put him in later in the game. We still lost. But but then he knew. I just said, listen, I had a call. He goes, no, I know. I shouldn't have done that. So
just yesterday, out of nowhere, a buddy of mine from childhood shows up with his wife in Anaheim. I grab him. We all go hang out. And when we were in rec league, probably middle school, early high school, we played ball at high school. And then on the weekends when they didn't have it, we'd be in a rec league. So we're always playing, you know?
Yeah.
And my dad would do that shit. Let's go hustle out there, Ryan. And I couldn't be like, shut the fuck up. And one day my buddy's on the other team and he's saying it to him. He's like, you diving out there, Lamb, you diving. And he's like, so like, shut up, you asshole. And you hear the parents in the crowd. You know, and I was like, shit. Because I know now, like, I wanted to say that. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But I know, like, my dad's pissed. Chris Lamb, his name is Chris Lamb. We call him Lamb. He knew. He was like, oh, because my dad knew him so well. You know? He's like, oh, I fucked up. And he's looking at me, and I'm like, don't fucking look at me, bro. Mom, I'm not bullshitting you. After that shit, my dad was like, come here. I go, what? And he's like, just gonna let him fucking say that to me like that? I go, what do you want me to do? We're like 14.
Right,
like,
right.
You go fuck him up. He says some shit like that to me. I'm like, you are being an asshole, dude. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, fuck, go over there and stomp him. I'm like, nah.
Damn.
But he was pissed about it. Yeah. Pissed. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I can't. I don't know. I don't remember seeing a bunch of kids yell back like that back
really
in the day.
Really did it. My kid is really a nice kid. He's a good kid. He never gets in trouble, but he just, you know, he hit a moment,
nerve. Yeah, hit a nerve.
You know, it just hit a nerve. And, you know, because I was frustrated. I'm like, you know, so, but he knew. But I did yank him out. And I remember one time my mom would not come to a lot of my games only because there was six other kids doing other sports. Yeah, so she was here. My dad, and then I remember she came to one of the games, and there was one game I got thrown out of the game.
For what?
I slid into second base, and the ump called me out, and I thought I was safe. And I'm like, I thought I was safe. He's like, you're out. And I go, you suck. And he goes, you're out of the game, like that. And because but I was like right next to him. He goes, you're out of the game. So no one knew why he threw me out.
Yeah.
So I said to my dad, he told my dad what I said, and my mom's in the stands. That's the one I had to go sit in the car. She's like, you said you, I go, I didn't say you sucked. I said, that was a bad call, and he threw me out. I had to change it. She was so disappointed. The one game she comes, I got thrown out.
You sit in the car, you couldn't even be in the bench.
Yeah, I sat in the car.
Off the field.
Yeah, off the field in the car, in a hot car. They fit, you know, until he finished the game.
Oh, man. So what kind of time did you get with your dad? Did you ever get one-on-one time?
Sometimes, you know, not a lot because it was seven of us. You know, he'd come home from dinner, come home from work and have dinner. And then he had the New York Post. It was either, he would read the New York Post. Now, sometimes in the morning, though, if it was on the weekend, you couldn't talk to him until he was done with the paper.
That was his rule?
That was his rule. And when he came home, he wanted to read the paper. You know, so we'd just sit there, we'd all eat, and we'd talk. We couldn't talk too loud.
So he's around. He's not going off in another room. He's sitting there.
No, he's sitting there with us having dinner. We all had dinner as a family every night. And then he would go up in his room and sit in his easy chair, like his Archie Bunker easy chair, with the AC cranked, in his boxers and his T-shirt, just relaxing. And then if you need to go talk to him, you go upstairs. Yeah, you know, I want to go talk to that. All right. And one by one, we go in. You know, I'd be like, yeah, what's going on? You know, he gave us the attention, but, you know, he was tired. I get it. He was working, you know, and then, like I said, he would get off the bus, go, you know, my brothers played Little League, so he was coaching constantly coming, you know, so he was a busy guy. And then my mom was pretty much, did all the discipline. And if she needed to talk to him about stuff, then she would. But, you know, and he took me to all sporting events. I was a big, you know, baseball games, you know, and stuff like that. Whatever we liked, football, we go to football games.
How many kids do you have?
I have one.
Me too. And her brother, I consider him mine too. But can you imagine seven kids and trying to get to their goddamn music lessons and sporting event, and then taking them to other shit too? Like, you know how you do the play this? We're gonna go watch it. It fucking blows me away that these parents, the good ones, because my mom didn't go to shit. It was easy for her, you know. The way they would work, and there's no cell phones. They remember shit. What are you writing down that I got practice at 6:30? I would forget everything if I didn't have some kind of reminder in my phone these days.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got to be dialed in.
And it's tough for me just at the one.
Yeah.
The one. My son plays in two basketball leagues.
Six more of that.
Yeah, so I'm running around. I got this, and I got to bring in the – we got to go to practice. I know. I can't imagine. There's some, like, moms in my neighborhood. They have three kids, and they pull it off. I'm like, how do you pull it off with three? I can't imagine with seven.
So how did he influence you as a dad?
You know, he just being a good dude, being a good guy, you know, respectful. You know, my mom showed how to have a real relationship. And, you know, just everybody liked him, didn't have any problems with anybody.
And he was supportive of what you were doing even as a young man, like 28. And then we all are in our 20s or fuck-ups and stuff.
It took a little while. You know, he always take me to – I like pro wrestling, so he'd take me to Madison Square Garden when I was a kid to wrestle matches.
Like WWF?
Oh, dude. Are you kidding me?
You unbelievable. What'd you see with him?
Bruno Sammartino, superstar Billy Graham was my favorite.
Yeah.
Every month we go to the Garden.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
The Garden, though. Yeah, we'd go to Baltimore Civic Center.
That's where superstar Billy Graham won the belt.
I went and saw cage matches there with Snuka. And, I'll never forget the Iron Sheik beating Bob Backlund, then Hulkamania and all that. But seeing it at the Garden, it must have been insane. Kiss at the Garden when they first came back and put their makeup on. It was their last tour 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That first one, when they were like, no, we're doing it for the first time ever. I went, and we were like, no, we're going to the Garden to see him there. And they booed 311 off stage. That's not a good fit on that bill. Yeah, they booed him out of there. Yeah. Like, get the fuck. Amber's a color of your energy, motherfucker. Where's this guy spitting fire and blood?
But so back in, for some reason, with the wrestling match at the Garden, those guys would bleed because it wasn't on TV.
Yeah.
So if they bled, you had to be over 16 to get in.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I was like 14 when he was taking me. So my mom used to have these big platform high heel shoes that she would wear. So I'd wear them. I wear my mom's platform shoes, and I wore bell bottoms so you couldn't see the shoes. So I looked taller, and that's how I'd go to the matches. Because like, oh, I just did not even ask. Because you know, my dad wasn't going to go back. Oh, we can't get in the match. I go, he's not young enough. Then I got to get back on the train, go back to New Jersey. So I wore platform high heel shoes to go watch
the whole wrestlers. Time. You're watching it.
Yeah,
you're not taking them off when you get in there.
No, I didn't. No, I just kept them on the whole time. But I had the bell bottom, so you had to cover. You had to cover the shoe.
Yeah,
because that would look a little weird, you know, if I. But and that's how I got in at a 14 to go see those great matches.
Is it just the two of you going to that, or was he taking a few of the kids? Like, were you the only one into that?
Maybe one other brother would go, but it was pretty much us.
And did he like it, or was that something he was liked doing it for too. You? Okay, he did.
He liked it too. So, you know, Bruno Sammartino was an Italian guy, so it was all Italians that went to the Garden back in the day. That's why he had the belt that long, because Vince McMahon Sr. would say, listen, we sell out every time because you're Italian.
Is that
you
what
can't
it was?
Give up the belt? Yeah, he had it for like 9 years, and at one point he goes, "Listen, I'm done." Because he sold out every time. All Italians would go.
I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, he's like, I can't do it anymore because he's getting beat up and stuff. So no, my dad was with sports. Always, you know, whatever equipment. My mom would be in the backyard. We had like a mound and a plate in our backyard basketball court. Yeah. So always practicing baseball. So they were really involved sports-wise too.
All right. And then what? So you're in the middle, 28. So when do you like actually move out?
Well, so at 18, after high school, he wanted me to be an accountant. He's like, look.
He wanted you to be an accountant.
Yeah, because that's what he was. You know, so he sent me to a local community college. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do it. He goes, look, I'll pay for it. Just go. That's what you need to do. I went one semester. I hated it. And I just went. I remember I went in this room. I said, listen, I can't do this. I'm not good with numbers. This isn't my thing.
But did you know you wanted to do comedy then yet?
I wanted to be on the radio. Okay. I wanted to be a DJ.
So you wanted to do that?
So I wanted some kind of radio or TV or acting at that point.
Now, if you're in the middle, what's there, three above you?
Yeah.
So were any of them already accountants or not?
They were both, two of them were. The real estate, accountant and real estate.
All right.
And it was one of the two, and I didn't want to do either. You know, so I said, listen, I don't want to do this. This isn't my thing. I want to go to this other community college where they had a communications course where you could be on the radio, do some TV projects, an acting class. He goes, all right, if that's what you want to do. So he sent me over there. So I did that for 2 years on the radio, did all that stuff. You know, I had my own DJ business. Did that for a while. And then I just kind of like, I did 2 years. And then I just kind of, I moved down to Florida because I lived down there for a while when I was younger and just messed around for like 2 or 3 years. Went out drinking every night. My friends down there, picking up girls, getting drunk, going from job to job. I had 18 jobs in 1 year.
18.
I would just work a job for like a week at a construction site, get paid in cash.
And then
I wouldn't show up on Monday. And then when the cash ran out, I'd go get another job. So for like 2 or 3 years, and then about 24, I go, I got to get my shit together. Like, what am I doing? I was landscaping, cut lawns. You know, my dad was definitely disappointed. He's like, what are you doing? And I came back to New Jersey and moved back. And I decided I wanted to do stand-up. And I was like, man, he's not gonna want me to do this either. And he's like, hey, if that's what you want to do, then go do it. So I started at 25 doing it.
Okay.
You know, and he was totally supportive of it. You
did
know,
he ever get to see you do a set?
He did. Yeah. First I did an open mic early on. He saw me. I wasn't that good. But then about 2.5, 3 years in, I was doing comedy 3.5 years when he died. So about 3 years in, I was doing a show. He was down in Florida, whatever, and he saw me, and I did really well. And he was really proud. He's like, listen, whatever you do, don't tell your mom you do those kind of jokes on stage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because my mom was really religious. My mom only saw me, like, I think 2 or 3 times in my whole career because she was just super – she didn't want, like, the cursing and the dirty material, and that's what I do. You know, so she hated it. I knew she would. I go, I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
It's
and I don't
so
want to be uncomfortable.
That you say that. Now, do you think that, like, comedians like us with the language you use for our moms or grandmoms are like what a daughter in porn or OnlyFans would be like? You know what I mean? Like, that's supportive, but I don't want to listen or watch any of that.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, are we that pariah for them on that side? You know what I mean?
I think like, so, damn. Because I remember I did like a late night with Craig Kilborn when he had that late, and I did stand up on it. I did like a penis joke, and my mom saw it. She goes, why would you do that on TV? She's like, your young,
like your daughter just put her tits
yeah,
out.
Yeah, she's like,
why
young,
are you doing that on TV?
Your young niece that's 11 saw that. I go, I don't think about my 11-year-old niece yeah. when I'm writing jokes. I can't.
No.
I would be out of the business if I did. I go, I don't know if she's going to like that. I remember she was so disappointed. I go, I told you, don't watch what I do. You know, it's just better off for both of us.
It really is.
But my dad liked it. He liked the dirty stuff. So, yeah. You know, he saw me and he was like, wow, that was really good. And then I wound up getting on Howard Stern show. My dad was a huge Howard Stern fan.
Oh, but you got on before he passed?
I got on. There was a guy in my neighborhood. That's a good one. There was a guy that would go on. He would light his penis on fire. That was his thing. This guy, Vinny Mazzio Jr., if you know the Stern show from back in the day. He would get down in like a little bikini underwear and light a fire over it and cook it like an egg. In a frying pan over it and light his penis on fire. So he's one of those freaks on the Howard Stern show. He was my neighbor.
I don't remember him. I used to, in Maryland, we used to get a DC channel and we would get the Stern Channel 9, I want to say.
Oh,
it
yeah,
was.
The Channel 9 show, yeah.
And Uncle,
Floyd?
No, what's the Grandpa Munster?
Oh, Al Lewis,
he
yeah.
would come on all the time back in the day, and they would do all kinds of wild shit. But Bongos was on back in the day.
Yep.
And we would see this Channel 9 show, and like he was so ahead of his time for doing all that stuff.
Yeah, he would do all those pay-per-views, like yeah, Bongo Fiesta, yeah. And like this guy Vinny Mazzio would come in and light his penis on fire.
Yeah, okay.
Which, you know, so he was my neighbor, so he started promoting shows, so he put me on, so he brought me in studio one time. So I'm doing comedy like 2.5 years. I'm on the Howard Stern show. And I remember Howard going, I made a joke about Vinny and they all started laughing. I'm like, oh man, I made him laugh. And then he goes, Jim, if you want to do anything with your career, let me give you some advice. Get rid of Vinny Mazzio. You're not going to go anywhere. I remember him saying that. I remember him saying, you're not going anywhere. Get away from him. But my dad heard that. He couldn't believe it. He was like, he was so proud. He's like, wow,
that's
you
awesome.
Want Howard Stern. And then like 6 months before he passed away, I was on an MTV comedy show. It was a show called Kamikaze. Mm-hmm. And I got booked on. I was doing comedy like 3.5 years. And I got booked on there and he saw me on TV do stand up. And I had a killer set on there too. So
yeah.
You
so
know,
he
so
got to see some real success.
He saw some success, yeah.
And early too. I mean,
early,
that's quick.
Yeah.
You know, even in this business, you know how fast that is.
I know. It
to
was
be
quick.
On Stern.
It was quick be on Stern and then do a TV show for MTV right after that, you know. So and then, you know, just, you know, one morning I woke up and it was weird because it was a Saturday morning. I used to play softball with my friends on Saturday morning. And I got up at like 9 or something like that. And I just saw like everyone running the house. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I was like, what's going on? And I went upstairs and my dad was on the bed. He was having a heart attack. My brother was there trying to give him CPR. And then there was a medic there. I guess the first aid came before the police or a police officer was there. Hmm. And it was weird because it was going on for like 30 minutes or 20 minutes or so until the ambulance got there. And I remember I said to my mom, I go, why didn't you wake me up? And she goes, I didn't want to wake you up. You know, I don't like waking you up because I, you know, as a comic, I would sleep till like 11 or 12.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Hey, don't wake up Jim. Don't wake up Jim. You know, be quiet. You know, he's got to get his sleep because I go to bed at like 3-4 in the morning. But even for something like that, she was like worried about that. Not that I could have done anything. I could,
yeah,
you know,
but still.
I know. Yeah. It was just weird. I'm like, really?
So that's, you wake up and it's already, it's
been already
going
chaos.
On.
Yeah.
It's been going
it's
on.
Been going on. I run upstairs and I see he's on the bed.
Was it your mom that saw him first?
Yeah, because he was in the bed. With,
still
you know,
morning,
they were just in the morning in the room. And then he just all of a sudden, is, you know, was having trouble breathing. So she ran downstairs. Got a couple of my brothers or whatever. And I guess they called the, you know, 911. You know, and then they started working on him and stuff. But it was weird because, you know, he just went to the doctor like 2 weeks before and he got like some some minor like heart surgery thing. I forget what they did back then. They clogged up.
and the doctor goes, terrible memories right now.
He's like, you're good to go. He goes, you're good. You had a little blockage. He goes, I got it out. And your heart's like you're 20 years old. That was like 10 days before. It's like, that's awesome. It's weird because the night before he died, for some reason, my dad left a rose on my mom's pillow.
Stop for 1 second. You said the magic words, for some reason, right? You've been through this enough. Everything's a little different when it goes down. When you look back, like they let you sleep in. Your dad's leaving a rose on the pillow. You know what I mean? Like when you go back and you start adding it up, it's like, why'd that happen? Why'd that? That's different. That doesn't normally. You know what I mean? Sorry. Please keep going.
No, I know. You're right.
So he leaves a rose on the pillow.
Like, and it wasn't, I said to my mom, I go, did you guys get in a fight? You know, or the night before? He goes, no, we just did it. You know, just left it on a pillow for her when she came upstairs or whatever.
And then it makes people wonder, like, did he know something? Did he feel something? What, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird because he was really happy. He's like, I got a clean bill of health. My heart's like a 20-year-old.
He's like, I'm ready to fucking get some more kids up in here.
Let's get into double digits with the kids. I got a second win now.
My heart's 20 years old, man. Come on.
I'm like, Dad, I got condoms. Yeah. I'm fucking now. You know what I mean? You might want to slip one of these on.
AIDS is around now,
Dad. Yeah, and I'm like, Dad, you can last longer, too. That's the only reason I wear one.
All right, so you're now up that you're awake. You're witnessing this, too?
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, so then the ambulance comes.
Is he talking at all? Is he breathing?
No,
he's
not, but you know they're working on him. Okay. And then the ambulance comes. They go, listen, get out of the room. We're going to work on him. We're going to get, you know. So I didn't think anything. I thought maybe just, you know, had a heart attack, but he's going to be okay. So I go, okay, follow the ambulance to the hospital. So we're at the hospital. Like, all right, they're working on him. It's good. He's at the hospital. They'll fix him. It'll be all right.
Is that what they're telling you, or is this what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, we're thinking, we're hoping, you know, to get him out of there.
Because I've been in this situation, too. I wanted to go back for a second, and if you don't mind me asking questions. Like, the paramedics, when they come in, I not that they need to be or anything, but I just was surprised how they're throwing your shit out of the way to clear a spot to, you know, this happened to my grandmother in front of me, and she's, I'm giving her mouth to mouth, and they're doing the paddles, and I don't know why. I never saw it in my life before, but watching it on TV and seeing that lifeless body jello like that, it's always given me the creeps. And now I'm seeing my grandmother shirtless and just like, and you're just like, what is fucking happening? And they're hitting her with the paddles and the body's just doing that. And I'm like, oh my God. And they're throwing chairs out of the way and shit. And it's just a chaotic fucking time.
Well, he was on the bed. I remember him being on his bed. So they started working him on the bed.
And how big was your house?
It was pretty big. He was upstairs, but he already had his shirt off.
Okay.
You know, so I don't think it got that chaotic because he was right there.
But like one of your brothers gave him mouth to mouth.
Yeah, he was working out. He's, you know, giving him CPR. And there was a cop there helping.
You ever talk to your brother about that?
No, I never did.
Summer is jam-packed and the heat is no joke, so we've got to prioritize hydration. We are made of 60 to 70% water, y'all, so when we're dehydrated, we feel imbalanced. With all the drinks out there, you want hydration that works. Liquid IV delivers extraordinary hydration with advanced science thanks to Liquid IV HydroScience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, vitamins, and nutrients. It's as easy as rip, pour, shake, and drink. Liquid IV is the perfect selection for whatever adventures you have planned this summer. You're going on vacation? Toss a couple in your bag. Having a barbecue? Put some out for the guests. You want to sip something fruity by the pool? Liquid IV has flavors for that. One stick of Liquid IV delivers superior hydration to water alone with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients. It's hydration for endurance, mental clarity, and overall well-being. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. How much do you think you're paying in subscriptions every month? The answer is probably more than you think. Over 74% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. I've signed up for subscriptions with 2 different emails and forgot about it. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see one I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. The dashboard shows you this month's spending compared to last, so you can clearly see and track your spending habits. They will even help you create a custom budget to keep your spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/honeydew. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew. rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who don't look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their underwear to anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. Look, here's the truth. I've said it before. I was actually buying Mack Weldon before they even came on the show. And when I heard they wanted to be on the show, I was stoked. I was like, yes, I already have their t-shirts, I already have their underwear. But what I didn't have that they sent me was their sweats, their hoodie. It's butter, y'all. Mack Weldon's clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They're not flashy, just classic, always in style, made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code HONEYDEW. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code HONEYDEW. Now, let's get back to the dude.
You know, I think he got to him first, yeah. And then...
would you be able to do that?
Which is weird. You know what? I just, about a month ago, I go, I need to learn CPR. I could be in a situation where I could save somebody, and you never know. And it's like, how do I not know it? I look at everything. I look at Instagram reels. I should know this. And I bought one of those AED machines for my house.
What's that one?
The defibrillator. If someone has a heart attack, you hook them up and they'll let you know.
I should have one of those. It's I don't have that.
Because my brother goes, because we have football parties at my house all the time. Joey Diaz is there, of course, too.
You better have a couple.
Yeah, so my brother Dan's like, hey, listen, there's a lot of old guys at our house now. You better have this in the house just in case.
And that's that little shock to bring it back for a shock.
You hook it right up, and it lets you know if you need to shock them, give them CPR, gives you complete instructions. It's amazing.
I'm fucking getting one of these today.
I'm telling you, I went through the whole thing, and I said, I need to notice. I go, why don't I notice? Like, what if someone's choking in front of me? So
that I was about to say, I'm still like, I have my daughter half the time, so the other half the time she's not with me, and I'm like, what if I fucking choke? Like, I brag a little bit, I'm 5 for 6 saving lives.
Really?
But yeah, I've saved my daughter twice has choked and I've Heimlicked and got it. Two other people have choked and Heimlicked, I've got it. It might be 4 for 5. I can't remember. My grandma was the one I gave CPR to that didn't make it. You know what I mean? But I bought one of these self. It's like a fucking. I know about what's about to happen on the internet with this, but it's like a self, almost like a plunger. And you put, if you're choking, instead of trying to get yourself over a chair or whatever, you can grab this thing and prum, 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 and suck that thing fucking out of your throat. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to
I'm going
to
give that. I gave one to my daughter's mother. I was like, because she doesn't know how to do it. My daughter was choking in front of us. And she had gotten up and walked away from the table. And I just thought she was going to the restroom or something. She comes back and she's like, and I look over. I'm like, oh, my God, you're not breathing. And her mom just looked at me like, what are you going to do? You know, I don't know what to do. And I got up and I started giving her a Heimlich. Boom, that shit flew out.
Really?
Yeah. One time was a pizza cheese, like a clump of it stuck down there. It just gathered up. I got that to come out. Another time, I've told this story, but I was working as a writer and I had an editor sitting in front of me. So I'm sitting just like I am facing you, but you're facing that way at your monitor. And I see him sort of doing this. And I'm like, what are you laughing at up there? And I'm hearing him go, and then he's doing it. And when he turns around, he gives me this. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I jumped over and I started fucking get him the Heimlich and blah, everything shoots out. And I'm like, holy fuck, dude. He's like, you saved my life. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, don't tell anybody. I was like, I'm telling everybody.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Come on, I need credit for this.
Yeah, yeah. You kidding me? You're going to my stats, bro. I'm telling everybody. Yeah, man, it's fucking, that's a, it's just also like, it's what, who you are. Do you freeze in that moment, or are you going to fucking power through this and block out that this is my dad who might be dying and I got to put my mouth on this man and try to save his fucking life?
No, I know. I know. And I really, like a month ago, I really said, I need to know this shit just in case I'm in a situation wherever I am, if it's a stranger or whatever, but I need to notice, because how stupid would it be if I didn't know it?
Yeah.
Like if I'm in that situation, I go, I don't know what to do. Or would I go to YouTube and I just watch videos on it. So I already know. I know exactly what to do. I watched 10 videos. It took 2 hours.
The difference is you don't have that certification or some shit.
Yeah, from fucking exactly.
Heart Association. So, yeah.
But yeah, but anyway, go back to the hospital. So we go there and they go, okay, they're working on him. So we're all just hanging out like, okay, this sucks, but he's going to be okay. I never thought he was going to die.
You didn't?
No, I thought they were going to get him back to life or whatever. Maybe he was alive when they took him out of the house. And then the doctors, hey, you guys want to come in this room? They bring in like a special, like a family room to break it to you.
Shit.
Like they don't come out in the waiting room with all the other people. They move you into a room. And I was like, this isn't good. And I didn't even know because I've never been in that situation before. And then they bring in and the doctor says, hey, sorry, we tried everything. But they said he was dead right away. Like, you know, he wasn't
even
on
his bed.
Yeah, even the first couple of minutes he was out. That he was done. And they had no shot.
How's that hit you?
It was rough, man, because I was like, you know, I had some older aunts and uncles, you know, that lived down in Florida, that I kind of knew they died. You know, those were rough, but this was, you know, the first time, you know, something really close to home. And you just don't think you're going to lose your dad at 58.
Yeah.
That's a young age. I know you, when you said you lost your dad at 42, that's insane.
Yeah. When I finally outlived him, I couldn't believe, even now, how
isn't that
young
weird, though?
I still feel.
When I was getting, I'm 59, when I got to 50, I was worried about that age 58. I'm like, holy shit, that's when my dad died. Like, it was in the back of my mind that whole year.
It wasn't
like,
in the back, bro. That was way more in the front.
Yeah,
you can't help it.
I know.
It's a number that's been burned in your head since you were 28 that, like, holy shit. Look, I'm not even exaggerating. This is what was really wild. My dad at 42, right? At 42, I end up, I get kidney stones. And I'm bedridden for like 3 days. Well, I end up clotting. My legs clot completely, both of them. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? It took 6 months. They thought I had cancer. Long ass story short, it turns out I've got a blood disorder. And that, then we all got to get tested. I'm the only one in the family that got, my mother doesn't have it. So they're like, your father gave this to you. So that many years later, I find out that a heart attack didn't really kill him. This shit killed him. He clotted and died. I'm in my bed at 42. I'm fucking clotting. They sent me home from the hospital and told me you're okay, and I'm not. I full on clot. And I'm telling you, this inches away from a carbon copy of what happened to him that night and how he died. Carbon copy at the exact same fucking age.
The same age.
But this time, this person, I get lucky. I beat it. And then I get the education and find out, okay, this is what this is. So even now, that's why I clotted in the hospital last year. And even now, I got to get my daughter tested. And fingers crossed she doesn't have this bullshit. Because with women or females, if she wants to get on birth control, that can cause clots. She can't be on this shit. If she's in an accident or pregnant and needs to be on bed rest, she's got to know that she needs to be on some kind of blood thinner or something, or else she'll clot and die. Like, it's just same thing. You're saying that at that age, it's exactly what happened to me. I found out, whatever, I was 16 at the time. So what, 26 years later, I find out not only what, and I've had this my whole life. It's a genetic thing. You just don't know it unless it comes up. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could live a healthy 102 with this bullshit and never even know you had it. But if you ever have to slow your machine down, that's when that shit's coming to get you.
So, but they thought he died of a heart attack, though?
Yeah. So originally he had gone to the doctor and had a heart attack. I took him. I drove him to his checkup. And they're like, you're having a heart attack now. Which, again, at 16, I thought a heart attack was the moment you clutch, you know.
Yeah.
But they're now educating us and saying, no, the pain and you're having a heart attack. That's the end of the fucking heart attack.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I drive him over to the hospital. They admit him. He's in there for days, and they release him at Thanksgiving. We stay local because he was at Hopkins in Baltimore. So we go to my aunt's, and we stay in Highlandtown for the Thanksgiving weekend, and then we go home Monday. And they tell him, you have blood clots, but you're okay to leave. I'm released with blood clots. I was terrified to go to sleep.
Right.
You know, like my dad went to bed, never fucking woke up. So, he ends up going and they think, oh, he died. Because what the doctors are telling me now is that back then, and I know it doesn't, we're like, what do you mean back then? But in the 80s, anyone that died like in their 40s or under, they just said heart attack. Now they're realizing with all the new equipment that a lot of these things are clots and things like that.
Right.
And that's why the young people, it's not like, oh, he had a bad ticker. They're just throwing it in that category, you know. But now they're like, oh, it's different, you know. So, yeah, forever it was heart attack. And then they're like, it's actually it was this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wow. Like, damn. Took me to almost die to figure that shit out at the exact same age. That was the thing, the age.
That's crazy, man. I always like, man, I got gypped out of years of my dad dying at, you know, I was 28, you at 16. I mean, yeah. We know Joey Diaz's mom, he was what?
Six, seven, something like that, right?
Or his dad, and there's his mom, he was in high school. Right.
His dad was the young
one. Yeah, but he was like 14 or 15. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's, you're not supposed to lose a parent that young.
No.
You know, and I always think that with my kid, you know, I have my kid later in life. I'm like, listen, I'm going to be around. I'm hoping to live to 80.
Yeah.
I tell him, I go, so you'll be 34. Is that good? I tell him that all the time. I go, I figure I can go to 80. Is that all right? You have me for 34 years?
I do that math to a lot.
I do it math all the time.
If I can get to 80, my daughter will be another, 30 more years.
I'm so like, I figure he'll be set in life.
You probably have kids. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll have a kid or two at 34 maybe. He'll be married, yeah. Live in the suburbs, have whatever somebody job he's going to do.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, are you good?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm hoping, 80. But maybe it could be 85. I don't know, but, you know.
Man,
so I always worried about that. I'm like, I want to be around, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, he has his dad for a while.
How old was the youngest sibling when your dad died? If you're 28, how old would the youngest be? Are they in their teens? Are they young? Are they still in high school?
Yeah, he was probably 20.
Okay. So still just right out of high school. That's young. You had 8 more years.
Yeah.
And how old's the oldest? How much more? How many more years did the oldest?
He's 4 years
old,
5 years older than me.
Oh, yeah. That's when it was in the bang, bang, bang zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you remember about that? How did your mom take it? How did she react? I mean, that's,
you know, my
everything.
Mom's super religious. So, you know, they can work it out in their mind, you know, Catholic. Yeah, of course she was sad and missed him and stuff. But she just, you know, she never dated after that.
No.
Ever. No. Never even wanted, didn't even think about it.
Never, you know? Had a friend in the neighborhood.
Nothing. No. You know, but she, you know, somehow they can work it out. That, you know, okay, he's up in heaven. This is his time to go. I don't know when my time's going to go. All of that stuff. You know, they're really good with dealing with it, you know, whatever they believe in and stuff. So, you know, it's just weird because then all of a sudden he wasn't around, you know, and I made sure because I was living at home at the time. So, you know, when I first started doing comedy, my dad's like, well, maybe. I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm not going to make that much money. He goes, well, move back in. I'll just pay a little rent here and there.
He had a good dad.
Yeah, so he had me move back in the house. Yeah, I know. Because he knew. I said, listen, it's going to be tough, and this is what I want to do.
When did you realize you had a really good dad? Like, at what point does it hit you? Like, damn, he's a good fucking dad.
I think, you know, probably at like 12, 13, 14.
Really that young?
Yeah, I was, just because he was involved in my life, you know, with coaching my teams.
But I mean, when after he passed, I'm sorry, specifically, like, do you check yourself now? Like, I still think when I'm driving to my daughter's dance class or something, like, how the fuck did my dad come to all these damn practices and these games and...
I think at some points, maybe I had a little anger when I was younger that he didn't give me enough attention, mm-hmm. but there was 7 kids. So you thought that, you know, but what was he going to do? You know, he had to go to work and take care of the family, you know, provide for the family. So I had that always that little resentment there. And then when I had a kid, I realized that he was an amazing dad. Like until you have a kid, you don't realize how chaotic and how much time that takes.
I can't imagine. I had two brothers, two more of me. I don't know how to. And he had twins. I'm a twin. It's 1973.
Right.
I'd have fucking been like, deuces. I am out here in the 70s. You could have done that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you stuck around and then had another one? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, so I think that I had that. And then when I had my kid later on, I realized, like, wow, he was an amazing dad.
Yeah.
You know, you can only give your kids so much time. You know, with seven of them, even with one, you know, I feel like I gotta try to give him as much time as I can. You know, so, but yeah, but he had, so I was living at, so I stayed living at the house for another 2 years because my mom was still there. It was probably like three or four of us still living there.
You helped your mom out?
Out of seven, yeah, I helped her. Just made sure she was in the house by herself.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to start moving on. I was starting to make a little money and move out eventually, but I stayed an extra 2 years. You know, and then we wound up moving out of that house where he died, and we put her in a condo.
Now, this is, I mean, my dad didn't have any of this either, but did you guys have a will? Was there any of that stuff? Or
yeah, he had a will.
He did.
Yeah, he had a will, yeah.
Yeah, my dad wasn't doing any of that.
No.
We had none of them. No. Now I went and got a living will and trust and all, because I watch how a will went through. He had a will, but I watch how it went through court. And who all took it? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there was nothing that rolled our way.
Yeah.
In the end. So I see like the value of that. But he didn't have life insurance. At least that we were told.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm 16.
Yeah.
And that's when also, at least in, I know in my family and from sitting here and talking to people, a lot of people's family, when a patriarch or a matriarch, whether that's a father, mother, grandmother, they die, man, the scumbags come out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? You didn't have any of that? No sisters or brothers on the other side popping up?
No, they didn't at all. You know, there wasn't a lot left, I think, because he quit his job and then he started like this catering business down in Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like in the middle of his job, he just decided he wanted to buy like these lunch trucks. And they go to construction sites, you know, and stuff like that. For some reason, his mom lived down there, his brother lived down there. So we moved to Florida between my sophomore and junior year. We just picked up and left, and he wanted to do this business down in Florida. Completely failed, so he was back to like, he was broke for a while. Like, he lost all his money. He was working like these menial jobs, you know, towards the end, you know, got into some real estate, but the real estate wasn't good at the time. My brothers were into it, so he didn't have much when he passed away. He took a chance, and I, you know, at the time, it's like, you know, he had balls to do that. He goes, I'm just leaving this. I want to try. I think
seven,
this is going to work. Seven kids.
Yeah. Something he knows is steady and dependent. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so there wasn't a lot left when he passed away, but we made sure we took care of our mom. We bought her a truck. We, you know, we all made payments on it each month. You know, we worked out a whole thing between all the kids to make sure she was comfortable afterwards.
Okay. What about, his parents, your grandparents, were they alive as well?
His mom was still alive.
Yeah. What were they like? Like, where'd he get that from? He's a romantic. He's a hustler. He's a hard worker. He's a family man. Like, what was it? His father?
I never met his father because his father died. You know,
never told you about him or anything.
Not
like that,
really. There was nobody on the male side of my family that lived past 60.
Shit.
For a while.
What'd you say you are?
Yeah, 59. No, but now that his brother is still alive and he's like 74.
All right.
But he was the first one. My brothers are in their 60s now too. But it was crazy. So like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So everyone, you know, the males on that side with the heart disease and stuff. So, but no, I don't know where he got it from. I'm not sure.
What was your grandmom like, his mom?
She was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was active in your lives and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
she had a condo right on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. So we'd go down there on vacation every year. We'd stay there, go there for 1 or 2 weeks, and it was great. You know, they had a pool and the beach is right there. You're in sunny Florida and stuff. So that's where we always took our vacations. So we were really close with her. You know, and then she wound up moving up to New Jersey later in her life. My mom took care of her. You know, she moved in the house. She wasn't doing well and stuff.
Your mom took care of her too?
Huh? Oh, yeah. My mom took care of another aunt too.
Your mom full on caretaker.
Oh, yeah, she was full.
Another aunt, like one of her sisters?
Yeah, one of her sisters lived there. Yeah, my mom would take people in. That's what she did. We had friends growing up. The mom went into a mental institute. She took the three kids in there. There was 10 living in our house at one point. Yeah.
Is that really?
Yeah.
And like they, she'd take care of them, and they'd all go to, were these classmates of yours or something?
Yeah, they were in the schools in the area. Yeah,
but they weren't buddies of yours.
Yeah, they were. But it was our friends. Yeah, okay. We were friends with the family. And
she's
stuff,
like,
yeah.
"You guys need a place to stay. This is so I would have been one of those kids. Your mom would have for sure. I never had any. Yeah,
yeah. So she took. Well, so it was 10 of us at the time.
She's a good cook.
What's that?
I said, I'm going over to Florentine's mom's house. She's a good cook.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
man,
you know,
10.
Yeah, we. Yeah,
and then her mother-in-law. And that's right.
Yeah.
After, so did your, so wait, so then your grandmom outlived her son.
Yeah.
Man, you ever talk to her about that?
It was rough, man. I remember.
These are Italian women, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
This is my whole family.
I remember when she, you know, she came the, you know, off the plane and was just like, you know, sobbing for 2 straight hours. I'm not supposed to lose a son. I'm supposed to go first. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched that too, and then we end up living with our grandma. And I've talked about this too. Like everything changed. The smell, that magic sauce and garlic, like the way my grandma's house smelled the moment we moved in, it was gone. You're used to it. You're there every day. You don't smell that anymore like you did. Like, oh my God, grandma's house has a smell, you know. And she would sit and cry on the couch or sit in her little rocker and. So Italian. She's like, oh my God, I'm never going to see him again. Have you had anything to eat today, hon? Like, bam, like right. that. And we're like, grandma, stop that bullshit. And you know, I would always argue with her, like, let him rest in peace. You know, that's my father. And now that I have a kid, man, I would have told my daughter's kid, you shut the fuck up, you little motherfucker. You know what I mean? She would say things like, oh, he's never going to come up the hill again. And I would now, you know, I see that with my kid. Like, I can't imagine they won't ever do this again. And I'm like, that poor fucking lady. And then she died not, I don't know, 3 years after that. Not
right.
even. Yeah, she couldn't take that shit anymore. That was the whole thing. And she didn't drive. So when we told her, we had to be careful not to tell her he was dead because he the whole situation because she was trapped and she couldn't drive. So she just, once they told her, she just started screaming across the street to neighbors like, can you take me? Can you take me? And she couldn't come.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we got there and I remember not her only being crying like you're talking about, but also being pissed. Pissed. I don't know who called her first and said he was still alive, but he was
oh,
not.
Oh, yeah, right.
He
yeah,
was
yeah.
not
you don't,
still
you know,
alive.
In those situations, you don't know what to do.
Yeah, he was you not know, still alive.
You know, should I tell this person? Not like, look, my mom didn't want to wake me up. You know, that's just a,
right.
You know, when you just go, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, don't wake him up because he sleeps in or whatever like that. So just those situations, whoever called and said, no, he's still alive.
I think one of my aunts that wasn't blood called and was right. like, you know, and then she was like, I've always hated you. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But then you see, we saw the fucking scumbags come out of the woodworks. People you loved all your life who thought they were so good. And next thing you know, they're shutting your grandmother's door and locking it. And all the jewelry's in a trash bag. You're like, hey, what's going on? Out the house real quick. And next thing you know, you're getting kicked out of the house. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky we didn't have that. I went through that with an ex-girlfriend with her family. That whole chaos.
Yeah,
with
I remember you.
Yeah, all that
story.
Stuff. You know, they wanted this. All of a sudden,
right.
this sucks. So, but thank God it didn't happen. And even with my mother's mother, later on, she passed away, you know, and no one went crazy. You know, there was a whole thing about what you want. You know, she had an antique table from like 1954, you know, forks from the 60s, you know, these special whatever these. And the only thing I wanted out of from my grandmother, she had this handicap placard for a car. And that's the only thing I took because it never expired.
Yeah, that's your family heirloom.
I said, this is all I want. I don't care about the forks from, you know, right when Kennedy got shot, you bought them the next day. I don't give a shit about that because I only use them when I go to concerts. I park right in the front in a handicap.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only time I still have it.
Thank you, Grandma.
Yeah.
Do you still have it?
Of course.
How old is it now?
It's got to be 20 years old. And I hide it in my car just in case a valet guy tries to steal it.
Yeah, that definitely put a steal those.
Yeah, so I stick it like under the seat,
oh,
under a
man.
Mat. But that thing, and that's the only thing I took.
Shit.
I said, that's all I want.
God,
you can have everything else.
That's good. Do you remember your dad's funeral? Do you remember the day and like going and stuff? What was that like? Was it a very Catholic? Was it an open casket?
It was open casket,
and
yeah.
Like before, and
you know, I think it was might have. Yeah, it was one day, like you know, 2 to 4 in the afternoon, and yeah. 7 to 9 at night. A lot of comedian friends of mine came
That's
down.
That's nice.
You know, came to the funeral. You know, and then the next morning was the funeral mass. I remember though before, I think it, that night after it was over, you know, it was open casket. I put a New York Post in his casket because nice. He loved reading that paper.
Yeah.
So I put that one in, whatever the day was before he was born. I'm like, let me put that in there in his casket. And yeah, then they had the funeral and he got married, you know, close by. His plot is like 2 miles from my house.
My mom, my dad,
my grandmother, my two grandmothers, my uncle. Yeah, they're all there. So
you
I still go by? Yeah, I go by a lot.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I bring my kid there.
That's one thing I wish I could go. Every time I go back, I go by. It's out of the way. And I'd go right the fuck out of the way every time. You know what I mean? It's nice.
Yeah.
I wish I could go more.
Yeah,
often.
I mean, it's easy. It's like 2 miles from my house. But I'll go probably 6 times a year. I bring my kid there. We tell him stories. You know, it's my birthdays, anniversaries, all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
I got a picture of my daughter sitting on the headstone, but I don't make it public because it's kind of dark. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I got a picture of her sitting on that motherfucker. I'm like, get over there.
I got to tell my son because I forgot what they wrote on my dad, you know, his great husband, father, you know, grandfather. He was special in this world, you know. And my son's reading. He's like, oh, that's cool. He's like, what do you want on your, you want anything written on yours? And he was a big fan of farts. He's like, really? That's what I go. Yeah, that's what I want. I got to tell him I don't want that on there. Because he will fight for it. He goes, no, that's what he told me. So put it on there.
Mom, I'm telling you, it's what he said. I don't know what I want, if I want anything. You know, one of my faves is Rodney. You know what's on Rodney Dangerfield's headstone?
No.
It's There Goes the Neighborhood.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's great.
Isn't it? There goes the fucking neighborhood.
Maybe I'll just plug my website. Go to jimflorentine.com. You know, I got a whole warehouse of material, please. Let my kid go to college.
So, your mom, after your dad passes away, how much longer does she... Is she still alive, your mom?
She passed away like 2018. So she lived to 80.
She got to 80.
Yeah.
And how was, I mean, she never dated
so
again.
So she waited 25 more years. She lived after
25 and never dated again. Never.
Nope.
Did she have girlfriends? She go play bingo or travel Atlantic City, do anything?
Oh, more with the family and stuff. Yeah. She had some friends and stuff.
So she wasn't house ridden, always taking care of people. People would get her out.
Oh, yeah. And then plus the grandkids. There's 14 grandkids.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So she loved spending time with them.
Good.
They would sleep over, please. You know, she was a huge help when I had my son.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take them, please. You know, so she would always be over there to babysit, send out to pay for a babysitter. So she loved the grandkids, spent a ton of time with the grandkids. And we'd always take her on trips to Atlantic City. We'd take her on, you know, vacations.
Yeah.
My brother would take her to vacation in Hawaii. We'd bring her down to Florida, all that stuff. So
do you see any of you? Are your dad and you now? And I want to ask too, so I don't forget, but what about your son? You see anything about your dad and your son?
No, I don't think so. No. And as far as me, I just knew, like, you know, you got to sacrifice for your kid. You got to be around. You know, when I got divorced, I said, listen, I got to be in this kid's life. And I want to be around. I miss shit. Like, he's got a basketball game today. I hate that I'm missing it.
Yeah.
But I got no choice. I go, listen, I'm building, you know, a future for you. So you're going to be well off, you know, so you can buy a house and do all this stuff. So that's why I'm there. He understands. He's got a million games going on, but I hate missing every one of them.
Me too. I miss the ones like a Saturday I don't have or I'm out on the road. So I miss that soccer game.
Right. Like you're in a hotel just waiting for a show and you're like, I could be at the soccer game. This sucks. Cause
you know what they're starting to do now though? They got this app called Mojo. I'm not paid by Mojo. They use it for my kids' soccer. You pay, I don't know, whatever, a year. And then as long as a parent there will turn their phone on and live stream the game, you can watch it. So you could theoretically just put an iPhone on the sideline of that basketball game, and then you could watch it from wherever you are, and then you don't have to fucking miss anymore.
There was a place that I used to play at. You'd signed up for like $10 a month, and they'd watch so I could watch the games. But that place, they don't play it there anymore. But I didn't hear about that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, but what am I going to do? You got to work too. My dad works, so he missed stuff too.
You
got to work.
You can't, yeah. You can't be with your kid every fucking second of the
and
day.
And at some point, they don't want you. He's a teenager now, so he's got his own friends.
Yeah, my daughter's 9 and already started where I can't even hold her hand like around the corner from the school.
Oh, yeah, right, dad. Yeah.
From the school. So I'm like, I can't what? You know, and so I put my arm around her or whatever I try to do. I treat her honestly like my dad did me as a boy, like would embarrass me a little bit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do that with her all the time.
Yeah. Like, you know, I the bus stop is right out front of my house. I'd always go out there in the morning. And this year it's like, Dad, don't come out here anymore. I'm good. You know, because the other parents would come out, so I'd hang out with the other parents. We'd catch up or whatever like that. He's like, you don't need to come out anymore. I go, well, if that one parent comes out, I'm coming out because we hang out and talk. But so he doesn't want me out there anymore, which I understand.
Yeah, fast.
Yeah, it does. And then, you know, when they want to go hang out with their friends, like, you know, I got my kid half the week. So it's like, I want to spend time with him, but then he also wants to be with his friends. I'm not going to tell him no.
Yeah, that's what the whole thing is. Do that. Yeah, yeah.
You know? And it's tough because you feel like, oh, man, not that you want to just isolate them, but you want to spend time with them. But then it's like, Dad, my friends, can you drive me over there? Of course.
It's tough for me to remember. It's tough for me to remember, too. Like, I know the value of, especially now, of time with my dad because I only got 16 years. And you really think of 16 years, like, first, what, 3 years, you don't remember shit anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you really get, like, this 13-year window of – you know, memories and stuff. And then I got to remember my bullshit into hers. You know what I mean? I can't keep this kid and do all these things with her from her friends and stuff just because I want these memories. It's just and then the way it goes. Yeah. You got to let them go and do their thing.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Because I know, like, once he's 18, he goes to college. Who knows who he's going to go away or whatever. You know, and then it's going to be, I'm not going to have him.
Yeah.
Until he comes home for Christmas break or Easter and then the summer and stuff.
And you got to live long enough.
I'm like, I got 5 years left of him where we hang out. We watch movies every night. I cook him dinner. We'll watch a movie, watch some sports. He likes the same teams as I like, which is great. I take him to games all the time, just like my dad did. I took him to wrestling for a while when he, but he's not into it anymore. But whatever, a lot of sporting events. He loves that, so. You know, because I knew, remember my dad doing it.
Yeah.
And it helps that he likes the same teams as me.
Yeah, I'm not taking you this. Unless my team's playing your team, we ain't going.
Well, I told my son, I go, listen, you can root for any team. I'll watch the games with you. There's two teams you can't root for in sports. The Jets, the New York Jets, and the New York Mets, because they're both loser organizations, and you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. I got a lot of friends that are Jet and Met fans. I go, you can't pick those two teams, so I'm not sitting through that. And he picked the teams that I like. He likes the Dolphins in football and the San Francisco Giants in baseball.
Yeah.
So it's great. So we bond over that. We go to games all the time.
Yeah, we're having a bit of a renaissance in Baltimore. So my daughter's getting to see good Oriole teams, not the shit show that's
it took
been
for 20 years. Yeah, I know.
Longer than that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's getting to see that and the Ravens right now. And she's getting to see players like Lamar and stuff. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's fun. Good for you, dude. I'm happy for you, man. Thank you for coming and doing this.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
Promote everything one more time again, please.
I got
Jim.
A podcast, Everybody is Awful, comes out every Monday. My tour date's jimflorentine.com. I got a couple specials out. They're Amazon Prime and a couple of them on Tubi TV.
All right.
So you can catch them there.
All right. Thank you guys. As always, I am RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Come see me live. Support the way back, and thank you guys. We will talk to y'all next week.